Thank you.
Well, here we are in the middle of March, and this is important to me because I notice that tomorrow is the first day of spring. Now, in the springtime, we tend to think about warmer weather, allowing us to get out and about without our winter coats, enjoying the new season of the year, especially after this past week. Now, some of us might even be plotting and planning a vacation, fulfilling a desire to get away from the usual activities that demand our attention and our consideration. Now, each of us has an individual, particular idea of what a vacation should be. And so we busy ourselves deciding how it should all come about. Now, for me, my personal time to get away happens in the summertime when I make my yearly visit to Somerset, Pennsylvania to visit my family. Now, Somerset is a smaller town, and like most towns of that size, it has what we call a diamond in the middle of town. It is that place where Center Avenue and Main Street cross. There are benches on all four corners, surrounded by large containers of beautiful fresh flowers. So my usual habit is to have my coffee and then walk to that diamond. I sit on one of the benches, I read my book, and I enjoy the time away from the usual activity that I leave behind in Washington, D.C. Now, while it is good to get away, I notice that I carry some of my habits with me. For instance, I realize that when I am in Washington, I usually begin my day with coffee and reading from one of my spiritual books. What is different is that perhaps I do these sitting on my lazy boy rocker in my apartment, or perhaps I have the opportunity to sit on a bench in front of the giant grocery store and read my book. Or I could find a spot on the cathedral grounds. And so the thought occurred to me that even in different surroundings, I seem to keep up my daily routine to a degree, continuing what I consider to be important. I take myself on vacation, and I bring myself back to Washington, D.C. People travel to far places, but they travel with themselves just as they are, and they bring themselves home just as they are. And this is the key. We really do not get away from ourselves. The point for us to consider is, who is this self that we carry with us? Who is the one who drinks coffee and reads books, regardless of where they happen to be? Who is our traveling companion that we carry with us in our luggage? If we should happen to find ourselves on a beautiful island, we have the opportunity to enjoy the serenity of the moment, allowing its beauty to be our experience. We have the opportunity to let go of what is happening in the world and also what is happening in our neighborhood. But you know, some people are not able to do this. And so the question remains, what did we bring in our luggage? There will be those who sit on the deck of a cruise ship, right in the midst of that welcoming sunshine and the open waters. And yet, there they sit, discussing the latest news from the White House or world events. They debate politics, or perhaps they share their concern about the stock market or the dire prediction for hurricane season. The self that they carried with them did not leave anything at home. This is what they packed in their baggage, and they will carry it with them throughout their entire vacation. We cannot get away from ourselves. This is why it is so important to consider the self that we take with us. Now, to contemplate this self, which we carry with us, is actually a search for identity. Now, I know I have talked about this many times before, but in the past, we have considered the question from the broader point of view, asking, who am I? Where did I come from? And why am I here? Basically, we are trying to find meaning and purpose to our life. The first lesson in the basic principle of divine science class speaks to us of the search for identity. Nona Brooks, she wrote a little book called Mysteries. And one of the chapters discusses the mystery of life. Now, all of this is really helpful in considering the entity we call self. But today, I want to look at this a little differently. I want to make it a little more personal. I want to discuss the identity of this self that we carry with us. That one that we take on vacation or to the job, or the one you brought with you this morning to church. The first step is to establish that place where we do our carrying. We don't actually tote around a piece of luggage containing what we call ourself, our ideas and concepts worthy of discussion. Our ideas about life and about ourselves are entertained and considered in consciousness. We take consciousness with us wherever we go. We cannot get away from the ability to become aware. Now, we can, however, determine exactly what it is that we will be aware of. If we want to know more about this self that is worthy to travel with us, then we must cultivate and develop the qualities that are associated and belong to this self. What do we want as a traveling companion? Do we want someone who is content and sipping coffee and contemplating the words of a spiritual book written by a favorite author? Or do we want that one who fills the air with chatter and debate? Well, each of us must answer this question for ourselves. Now, for me, I don't do very well with a lot of confusion. I need a little solitude and quiet. So this self that goes with me must have a sense of peace, an idea of reason and order. The one that travels with me must be willing to leave things at home and benefit from the moment. Remember, the self that goes with us, the one that is carried in consciousness, it's really us. We cannot get away from ourselves. Let us make sure that we are the one we want to be with. Whether we're on vacation, shopping at the mall, or sitting here on a Sunday morning at church. Now, to learn of this self, I may begin by recognition with the mental work, affirming what I want and denying what I don't want. This activity centers my attention on what it is I would like to have as my experience. And these are really actually necessary first steps in getting to know the self that I intuitively know is my identity. But at some time, I've got to put away the mental work and give attention to the qualities that belong to the self I have been acknowledging and affirming. For me, my travel companion has to have a sense of poise, peace, and serenity. And so I turn to the book of John for inspiration. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I now realize that it is not a matter of cultivating or developing a friendship with this self. Rather, it is more a matter of giving recognition to what already is. It is already whole and complete as itself. So my role is to acquaint now myself with him and be at peace. To acquaint is to become aware, and remember, we become aware in consciousness. No more mental work, no more affirming and denying, no more trying to find this self in far-off places. We read these words in the Bible. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. This is quite clear. Be still and know is the direction given to the soul of man. By now we understand that this self we intuitively know as our identity is the one of inner being. It is the one of spirit. It is that one that's made in the image and of the likeness of God. And to know this self is actually a matter of becoming still and listening. It is not a matter of trying to find us, because we really cannot get away from ourselves. So what started out as a search for us is now viewed as acknowledgement of what we already are. So now our only desire is to live as this self, as that one that never leaves us. And I'm talking about right now in our daily lives. I am talking about while we are walking on this earth plane, going to work, to the mall, to the grocery store, or to church. Our desire is to live as this self, whether we are on vacation or sitting in our own backyard. And really, this becomes the challenge. Walking the face of this earth plane brings its temptations to accept what the world says to be so. Divine science, it is a Christian religion. And so we notice what that man Jesus did when he walked on this earth plane. Now the Bible tells us that Jesus had his temptations, and indeed we know that he did. We read that Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. The tempter came and said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from out of the mouth of God." Now remember, Jesus was hungry, but he chose invisible sustenance over the material form. And this is the key to that entire passage. The temptation was to demonstrate an effect, to demonstrate bread, to perform a miracle in the outer world, as to place our attention and our consideration and thought on the outer world. But Jesus did not get caught up in this way. He lived as the spiritual self, the one who has his identity in God. This self knew this was not the way of demonstration. Joel Goldsmith says it this way. Jesus knew that God is divine consciousness. And since consciousness is the substance and activity of all four, then as long as we live, move, and have our being in consciousness, all form will appear without us taking thought. And that was Jesus' answer to every temptation. So there we have it. We must do the same. Really? Our only demonstration should be the activity of God in our lives. When we are faced with a problem, whether it's one of hunger, health, or perhaps supply, let us not try to work with it, trying to figure it out through mental reasoning or thinking. Jesus told us to take no thought for our life, what it is we shall eat or drink, or what it is we shall put on. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, all of us who are here this morning have a measure or a degree of understanding concerning truth. And we may be tempted to utilize truth to secure something, a job, a relationship, a new place to live. But you see, when we do this, we are considering the object to be the demonstration and not God. Always the demonstration is the activity of God in our lives. It is God taking the necessary form, expressing what is needed. And you know, when I take the time to think about this, I should not consider that I am wise enough to know exactly what is best for me. When I try to use truth to bring about a particular result, it is as if I do not trust God to do the work. Perhaps I know more than God does. As long as we are living in this world, there will be a tempter, something or someone that urges us to demonstrate through mental work, completely ignoring the invisible activity in us, out of which all things are made. So let us get back to that self that we carry with us in consciousness. No matter what it is we are going through, no matter what it is we think, we cannot get away from that self. Now, the self as spiritual identity does not leave us. However, until we become aware of its existence, we will not be able to benefit from its presence. Our church has a website, and many times we receive questions from individuals asking, how long it takes to get to that place where we can live as the man Jesus. Well, how long does it take for us to attain the mind that was in Christ Jesus? Who knows? The way is straight and narrow, and few will enter in. I don't know of any quick fixes that take us to that place where we can give no thought for our life, what it is we shall eat or drink, or what it is we shall put on. And you see, as human beings, we spend a great deal of time thinking about these things. How long does it take before we can stop living as that man of material form? How long does it take for us to understand that it is up to us to determine the self that we carry with us? We will always carry with us an idea of self. There is no doubt about that. The thing is it the identity of material form, or is it the one of higher consciousness? Is it the one we desire as a traveling companion, or is it the one we should leave at home. We alone decide. And you see, this really isn't an easy road to take because in the human stage of existence, man exists mainly on the physical and mental levels of life with no awareness of spiritual being. Everything is a problem to be solved or to be fixed, and man does not have the answers. This is a very trying time for us, and it may last for quite a while. You know, we don't live too long on this earth before we discover that sometimes we acquire things, other times we lose things. Sometimes things are really going our way, other times not at all. It is a very human trait to want to belong to something, to fit in, to find some place that we can call home. And you see, all of this has to do with our search for identity. Now, not only do we ask, who am I? Where did I come from? And why am I here? But now we have added the question, who is this self we call I? I is the one we carry with us in consciousness. This may be a very confusing time for us, but I tell you, it's a very blessed place to be. For you see, it is the time of our confusing times of experience that we begin to doubt our ability to solve problems and fix things. It is at this time that we lose confidence in our capacity to be self-sufficient. In our time of struggle, we have awakened sufficiently to feel comfortable when we know that things are going our way, and we feel uncomfortable when things are out of control and we have no answers. It is at that time when things are out of control that we lose faith in the self of material form and we long to know us in a new way. This is why I call it a blessed place to be. We are now open and we are receptive to a new view of us and a new view of life. We look around us and we notice order in the universe. Something keeps the stars, the moon, and the sun in place. Something tells those waters to ebb and flow. And now we begin to wonder, is there something greater than man himself? Is there something that goes beyond man that can solve man's unsolvable problems? At this point, we open ourselves to a wisdom that far exceeds our ability to reason and understand. Having silenced the self of chatter and debate, we now know us in a different way. In our search for understanding, we call what is greater than us God. And yet, strangely enough, we feel at one with this that is greater than us. At first, this may be a little scary. But in time, we grow to realize that we are not separate and apart from that which is greater than us. And we feel comfortable with this knowledge. We finally understand that while we can say that the Father and I are one, it is also true to say that God expresses as us. The Creator always expresses as its creation. This is the relationship of divine being, and this is the true self. And now the search for identity is over. This morning we have the opportunity to turn within and acknowledge the activity of God in our lives. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, let us pause for a moment in the silence of our soul's awareness. It is there that we hear that still small voice. I am here. Turn to me. Be not afraid. I am here. I made you in my image and likeness. I sent you into the world to bear witness to this image and likeness. I solve the problems and fix the crooked paths. This is my responsibility, not yours. Your role is to listen with the inner ear and discern with the eye divine. The receptive ear, it hears marvelous things. The discerning eye sees only God in all things and in all places. This morning, let us consciously choose the identity of the inner self. It is the way of peace, joy, harmony, and love. There is a divine plan for the universe and everything in it, including us. There is no beginning and no end to life. Life is eternal. We are that life, and we are living it now. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.